evening, everybody. So tonight we're going to do our annual Haggadah Shir, and as I've done in the past, I'm splitting this year really into two parts. The first part I already did in Yeshiva, so I'm going to do different Divrei Torah from the same Haggadah. Each year I try to pick a new Haggadah to look at, and it just makes my job a lot easier. Instead of sitting at my desk with 35 Haggadahs piled up, I could just look at one Haggadah and just read through the whole thing, and that way you're able to pick up on themes that that the Baal Haggadah, that whoever authored the commentary to the Haggadah, feels are important. So this year I'm doing the Sefer Matnas Chaim al Seder Leil Pesach. The Matnas Chaim is Rav Matzio Salomon, the Lakewood from the Lakewood Mashkiach, and this Haggadah was published. It says Tavshin Ayin Dalid was the Madur Rishona. Very, very beautiful Haggadah. Rav Matzio Salomon believes very strongly. You get the sense throughout his entire commentary on the Haggadah that the purpose of the Haggadah is not only to highlight what we are doing now, but more importantly, to build us as Jews, to be able to leave us where we're going to leave the Seder with a greater sense of Emuna, a more profound belief in the Geula La'asadavo, and the whole, or one of the primary themes of looking back at the previous Geula is to be able to have bitachon in future Geula. And that's something that he highlights throughout the Haggadah. He also he quotes frequently from Rav Elia Lapian. Rav Elia Lapian was also a very famous mashkiach and was a Rebbe of Rav Matzio Salomon, I think for less than a year. But Rav Matzio said that Rav Elia Lapian is his Rebbe Mufak, meaning that he had such a transformative impact on Rav Matzio's life that he feels that Rav Elia Lapian is his Rebbe. So Rav Matzio is a big tzaddik and a very profound thinker, and someone who's been was mashkiach in Gateshead for 30 years and has been mashkiach in BMG in Lakewood since 1998. So a major, major person in the Jewish community. So what I did in yeshiva is, as I was going through the Haggadah, I just started numbering the Vartlach. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. So in yeshiva, I did all the odd numbers because sometimes, like when I give the shir in one place, so we cover like from Kaddish Orchatz Karpas Yachatz, and that's it. And then the next year we'll cover the other parts. So I figured to scatter it a little bit. So I did the odd number Divrei Torah in yeshiva, and we'll do the even number Divrei Torah over here. So we'll start with the psicha to the Haggadah. It happens to be the entire first half of the Sefer. He has ma'amarim. He has 12 different ma'amarim where he says that in order to get oneself into the mood and into an understanding of what one is supposed to draw from the Seder night, it's kedai to learn the ma'amarim. But as far as actually experiencing the Seder night, learn his commentary on the Haggadah. So we're going to go with the commentary on the Haggadah. We'll leave the ma'amarim maybe for drashas or for something else for some other time. So in his psicha to the to Magid, he starts by quoting the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Halachos Beis Gimel, where the Rambam writes about the mitzvah of doing Magid, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, mitzvah lahodia lebanim v'afilu lo shalu shenemar v'igadta l'vincha. Even if your children never ask, you have to tell them. Lefi daito shoden av melamda, right? That's the atpsachlo, that even if he's einu yodei alishal, you still have to teach him. Keitzanim hayakata no tipesh, if the child is very young or not particularly intelligent, omelo bini, you say, my child, kulanu hayinu avadim, and look what the Ram does. We were all avadim kemo shivcha zu. And you point to the shivcha in the house and say, like that shivcha. O kemo eved zeh, or like that eved, b'mitzrayim. O b'layla zeh, pados anu HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yotzeinu l'cheirus. And then on this night, Hashem took us out to cheirus. And if the son is a little bit older or wiser, so you let him know all of the nisim that happened in Mitzrayim, l'fi daito shel ben, aviv melamdo. And the Rambam says you have to do things differently on the night of the Seder so that children, with their curiosity will be piqued, and they'll ask the questions of the Manishtana, and you should say this and this happened. And he goes at length to describe everything you have to do. And he says, the Ketzad Mishana, and you know what you should do differently on the night of the Seder that will pique kids' interest? Mechalik lem kloyos ve'egozim. Give them nuts. Give them roasted nuts, because children love candies. And when you roast nuts, it loses some of the bitterness, so it's sweet, so they'll enjoy the sweets. It's interesting, Rav Matzio Salomon writes in a footnote that he feels that whenever Chazal tell you to do something, you shouldn't change it. So you might say, well, nowadays the candy industry is so much... kids, you give kids nuts, they'll be like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, you give them candy and they'll appreciate it. He says you should give klayos ve'gozim, and if the kids aren't going to enjoy Klayus Vagozim, tell them that that's currency so that they can buy, open up a candy store at the end of the night where they can give their Klayus Vagozim to buy candy. But he thinks you shouldn't change from what Chazal say. That if Chazal say it's Klayus Vagozim, so then it's Klayus Vagozim, which is an interesting mahalech. You know, I've heard that mahalech in terms of like skulas, you know, that when it comes to skulas of Chazal or Hakpados of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, things that we don't understand. So Rav Pam, Rabbi Reisman always quotes Rav Pam, had a Masara that it's only when it's exactly the skula. That as soon as you change any detail, then the whole thing doesn't apply. But over here, it's like, you know, we understand what this is about. This is about getting the kids interested. He still thinks you should give Klayos Ve'agozim. So he points out from all of these details that the Rambam gives about the way that one fulfills Tzibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you see that in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly, it's not enough to just go through the motions of telling the story, of just saying what happened. You have to figure out a way. The Rambam measures every word so carefully. The Rambam goes to such lengths because he's trying to tell us that one has to plan and that one has to figure out the best way to talk to that child. That each child, you have to figure out a way to get through to them. And even to the point of using living examples, Shivchazu, Eved Zeh, if that's going to be meaningful to the child. And the reason it's so important is based on what the Ramban writes in the end of Parshas Bo, Uba Avur Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yasa Osu Mofis B'chol Dor Leini Kol Rosha Kofer. Not every time someone says some kfira, someone says something that's blasphemous, not every time is Hashem going to just do a miracle in front of their eyes so that they could be shot down and that their ideas won't carry any weight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work that way. So therefore, says the Ramban, Yitzava Osan, we need constant reminders to that which we saw with our own eyes, and let's express that to our children. This is an ikur ha'emuna, and that's why it's so important, because it's the foundation of all of emuna. So whereas by every mitzvah you should find meaning and value and depth and everything, but the Ram doesn't tell us that by every mitzvah. He just tells us how to do the mitzvah. When it comes to this mitzvah, he tells us how to find the depth and the meaning and how important it is to do that, because this is the foundation of Emuna. And that's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, where the Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason we have so many different mitzvahs that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though L'chora you would imagine one would be enough, we have so many different mitzvahs that have some connection to Yetzias Mitzrayim because it is foundational to Emuna. And certainly the entire Seder night is foundational to Emuna. And then Rav Matzio points out that Rav Elia Lapian in Lev Elio says that Shamati mitalmud chacham muflag echad shaya bekelim. He said that he heard from a certain talmud chacham that was in Kelim about the hanhaga of the Baal Malbusha Yom Tov, of the author of the Malbusha Yom Tov, that when he would sit on the night of the Seder to say the Haggadah, he would first say, Hinei, kishem shani yoshev ata bebesi vels a Seder, just like I'm sitting here doing a Seder, all of North Woodmere is doing a Seder. And all the five towns. Medina. And all of New York. And all the Jews in the United States. And all the Jews in Israel. And all the Jews in Europe. All the Jews everywhere are doing what we're doing. Osim Seder Shadal Koz Matzamar Vamir Seder Agada. Kulanu Bidorenu Osim Zeh Seder B'lal Pesach. They're all doing this in our generation. And then we say, then he would say, the Baal Malbusha Yom Tov would say, at his Seder, where did we all learn to do such a thing? Why are we all doing this? Heichon Re'inu Kulanu Zos Eitzel Avoseinu Kulam Bidor Shalafaneinu. The Heichon Ra'u Avoseinu. We saw it from our fathers. And where did our fathers see it? Eitzel Avoseim Heim. And you go back, there's a beautiful article that, did you send this to me, Shari? That Rav Aaron Lapiansky wrote about 132 generations from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's not that much. I mean, we're not that distant from, imagine 132 people sitting around the table. A father and his father and his father and his father and his father. And that's what we're doing. We're sitting around the table with 132 generations. And we're saying, we didn't make this up in this generation. We all came to the same conclusion because we all got it from the same place. foundation of emuna. That's what the Seder night is, and that's why it's so important to explain to the children and to engage the children in a way that the Rambam, who measures every single word of the Mishnah Torah, he only tells us what is important to know, lahalacha. He goes and he tells us how to give candies and how to speak to this child and to that child and how to do things differently, because this is foundational to our emuna. That is his psicha, that is his introductory remark to his commentary on the Haggadah. I'm going to skip for a moment to the very last remark he has on the commentary to the Haggadah, because we're probably not going to touch the second half of the Haggadah anyway. So I'm going to skip to the very last remark, because if that's the goal coming in, what's the goal coming out? Meaning, if that's the stated goal at the beginning, that we come from all these, from 132 people around the table, we come from all these generations, and this is the foundation of our emuna, how are we supposed to leave the night? So the last thing at the end of the Seder is we say Halel HaGadol. Halel HaGadol is the Hodul Hashem Kitov, all the Kili Olam Chazdos, right? The whole list of Kili Olam Chazdos. So okay, you have Nishmas after that, but Halel HaGadol is at the very, very end of the Seder. So what is it about Halel HaGadol that it gets said at the end of the Seder? So Rav Matzion Zalman suggests that the Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, already discusses Halel HaGadol. And it says, Lama Nikra Shmo, Halel HaGadol. I don't know if people call it that. I don't know if people realize that that's what it's called. But it's why is that? That Chazal called this Halel HaGadol. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mnei Shakrush Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam U'mechalek Mizonos L'chol Bria. Because this Halel HaGadol emphasizes that Hashem gives sustenance, that Hashem gives us food. And Rashi writes, T'chsiv Bein Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar V'haynu Davar Gadol. The fact that Hashem is Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, that Hashem provides sustenance, that is a Davar Gadol. Not for now, but one could argue that that is the definition of Gadol. That Gadol might mean, I gave a woman's shir, I don't know when it was, a week ago or something, where that was the yesod of the whole shir, that the word Gadol, in almost every context that we use, it means someone who gives to others, someone who is mashpia on others. In fact, I said that as the Dvar Torah at my grand nephew's Shalom Zachar this past Friday night, and I spoke about Zach Katan Gadol Yeh, that a Katan means someone who receives, a Gadol is someone who gives to others. And after Shabbos, Terrell came over to me and he said, you know, that speech that you gave last night, I was thinking of that little Zeriger boy. He helps everybody and he's always, so I'm like, okay, somebody's listening to the speech. So someone's listening to it. So it's just amazing. I'm like, please just stay non-Jewish for a little longer. We need you. Halal HaGadol, it's called Halal HaGadol, says the Gemara, because it describes Hashem's giving us food, Hashem giving us sustenance, and that is a Davar Gadol. In fact, the Gemara goes so far as to say, and this is the key point, V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Kashin Mizanosov Shaladam, Yoser Min HaGeula. If you were to ask, which is the greater miracle, the redemption from Mitzrayim, Geula, or the fact that we eat every day? Mizonosov Shel Adam is the greater miracle. Mizonosov Shel Adam is a bigger deal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the raya Rabbi Yochanan brings in the Gemara? Because it says, Hamalach HaGoelosi Mikol Ra. We talk about Geula, who does it? Hamalach HaGoelosi, it's a malach. When it comes to Mizonosov, we say, HaElokim Haroe Osi, that it's Hashem who shepherds me and supports me. And that's what the Maral writes. That's why in the Kili Olam Chazdo, we say, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, that Nesinos Mazon L'chol Basar is greater in Maila than Geula. It says, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, Kili Olam Chazdo, after it says, Veferkeinu Mitzureinu, Kili Olam Chazdo. Because we're building up, and Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar is a bigger deal than Veferkeinu Mitzureinu, than being released from our captivity and from those who harm us. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to answer. That's why it's called Halel HaGadol, because it builds up. So why focus on a Halel HaGadol on the Seder night? Why would we focus on the Seder night on something like this, on the fact that Hashem gives us food, on the fact that Hashem gives us mizonos? Says Rav Matzion Zalman, because that's the point. That's the point of the Seder. The point of the Seder is to build our emuna to the point where we won't only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the big things. Like the Ramban famously writes, probably the You know, my chavrusa would always say top five famous Rambans, but this one is a top one famous Ramban, probably the Ramban in Parshas Bo. Umin hanisim hanistarim hamafursamim adam moda benisim hanistarim shem yisod haTorah kula. That from the big miracles, a person comes to appreciate the small miracles, which are the foundation of kala Torah kula. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches says Hakorei Halal B'chol Yom Hareza Mechari from Megadif. That someone who says Halal every day is being Mechari from Megadif. He's blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Shach in his commentary on the Torah says, because if a person every day, when in order to gain inspiration, needs to say B'tzeis Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, he needs to say Halal to look back at the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, well then he's missing the boat. Then he's Mechari from Megadif. He's missing out on the miracles that happen each and every day. The point of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim episode, Min Hanisim Hanistarim Hamufursamim Adamoda Benisim Hanistarim Shem Yisod HaTorah Min Hanisim HaGluim Hamufursamim Itcha Adamoda Benisim Hanistarim Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula. When you have the Nisim HaGluim, that should bring us to the point of appreciating the Nisim HaNistarim, and that's what bookends the Seder. We start the Seder with an emphasis on Emuna, and hopefully by the end of the Seder we're ready for all the Kili Olam Chasdo, Kili Olam Chasdo, to appreciate Milsim Lechem L'chol Basar Kili Olam Chasdo. So now let's get into some of the comments that he has on the actual Maggid. So the Maggid starts, at least in the Girsa of the Haggadah that we say in Galus, is Halach Ma'anya. We start with Halach Ma'anya De'achalu Avasana Ba'ara De'mitzrayim. So the Ramban, the simple pshat is that we're talking about the matzah that we ate as we left Mitzrayim, because the dough didn't have a chance to rise, and therefore we ate matzah as we left Mitzrayim. However, the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh explains that no, this is talking about the matzah that we ate while still in Shibud Mitzrayim. He says, "Uber bekan dvarim rabim ki hiskei b'matzah shetia lechem oni. Matzah is lechem oni. Lahagid kitziva liskar shiyotzu b'chipazon. Matzah does teach us that we ran out of Mitzrayim quickly, and also v'uani zecher kiyobim Mitzrayim b'lechem tsaru mayim la." And it's also representative of the bread that we actually ate, because we were under such lachat, such time pressure, and such persecution in Mitzrayim, we couldn't do any better than matzah. We didn't have 50 fancy restaurants on Central Avenue to be able to spend all our spare time going to. We had to just do whatever we could do, and we didn't have time to even let the dough rise while we were working in Mitzrayim. We had lechem oni, and that, he says, is what the Haggadah is highlighting. From the Ramban, you see that there are these two elements of matzah, but when we say in the Haggadah, halach ma'ani diachalu avasana barad Mitzrayim, the Ramban says that's going on what we ate during Shibud Mitzrayim, and this is a kiyum of maschil b'gnos u'masayim b'shevach. This is a kiyum, the Haggadah, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, that the way one is supposed to do Super Yetzias Mitzrayim is you're supposed to start by describing the terrible Shibud and then conclude with the Geula. So the way we start, if the Halach Ma'anya was about how we ran out of there quickly, we're starting in the wrong place. We're starting with the end of the story. So that's why we say Halach Ma'anya Diachla Vasana Be'ara De Mitzrayim, not Kishe Yotzanu Mi Mitzrayim. No, this is the other element of Matzah. This is Matzah while we were in Mitzrayim, and therefore it's a fulfillment of Maschil B'Gnus. So that is his vart on Halach Ma'anya. Moving along, we then move on to the Manishtana. So in the Manishtana, one of the things we say, one of the questions that the children ask, Halayla hazeh kulanu mesubin, that we ask that on this night, we're all reclining as if we are all kings, that b'chala leilo sanu ochlim ben yoshvin ben mesubin. I'm only going to say it in one language and I'm not going to sing it. B'chala leilo sanu ochlim ben yoshvin ben mesubin, but halayla hazeh kulanu mesubin, that on this night, we're all reclining. So again, the pashtus is that Haseba is a hanhaga of Cheirus. It shows that we're free, that we're sitting like royalty in order to remember that Hashem took us, may avdus l'Cheirus, to be avdei Hashem, to be a goy kadosh and a mamlachas kohanim, that we're all a nation of royalty. But the Medrash adds a twist to this. And the Medrash says, now you know what Haseba is meant to recall? Dover acher, v'yaseve elukim es ha'am. The Pasuk uses the word Haseba to describe the circuitous route we took out of Mitzrayim to get to Eretz Yisrael. And because God took us in this circuitous route, the Chazal taught us that even the poorest person has to do a seba at the Seder, because that's our Kodesh Baruch Hu. He brought us on a circuitous route. And the question is obvious. What in the world does one have to do with the other? Other than a coincidence of language, that Ve'yasev means that we went on a circuitous route, and Haseba means that we lean. Other than a coincidence of language, what is the connection between the route that Hashem took us and the Haseba, which is Kippenei Malachim, which we do, which we lean like kings? So maybe the explanation is, he says, based on what the Medrash Tanchuma says. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Bamidbar writes, says Rav Matzio Salmin, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai, ze shomar kosov hador atem ra'u dvar Hashem, hamidbar hayisi liYisrael im eretz me'afuleha. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, al she'amartem l'Moshe, lama yisenu l'Mitzrayim l'amos b'midbar. You complained, why are we being schlepped out to the midbar? We're going to die here. Hamidbar hayisi liYisrael, k'midbar hayisi lechem, o k'midbar nahakti eschem. What was your experience like, looking back, retrospectively, while you were in the Midbar all that time? Was it a Midbar type of experience, right? Meaning, was it? Did you feel like you were lacking? Did you feel like you didn't have anything? Kanoik Shaba Olam, normally, when a Melech Basar Adam goes out into the Midbar and people come with him, they know that they have to. That they're going to have a difficult camping experience. And you were Avadim to Mitzrayim. I brought you out, and you know what I did for you? I gave you man, I gave you ananeya kavod, I gave you comfort, I gave you all the things that you would never expect in the Midbar. Meaning, when we were taking this long circuitous route where we might have been geared up for a camping experience, Hashem gave us a glamping experience, right? Hashem gave us an experience where it's not supposed to be that way. It's that we were supposed to be roughing it. We weren't supposed to be enjoying it like this. And that, says Rav Matzio Salomon, is the connection. Hashem took us on this long circuitous route, which should have been treacherous. It should have been impossible. But we do Haseba Kibbenei Malachim, to recall not just that we are free, but to recall the way the experience was as we were living in Mitzrayim. And he says, you find this in the Yotzros to Shabbos HaGadol, for those who say Yotzros. V'lama mesubin b'mita kvudo kulula, zecher l'cheres ribu tzanani kavod b'chatula, shekein derech b'nei melachim lino kavod l'salsala. He says that, why is it that we lean, says the Yotzros to Shabbos HaGadol? Because Hashem took us with anani kavod. Because when we were in the Midbar, it was about the creature comforts that we got to enjoy in the Midbar, and that was Hashem's way of showing love to us. So to remember that Prat, Chazal were Masakein, that we should sit Be'aseba. And says Rav Matzio, now we understand those Shitos that disagree with the Rav Yah. The Shita of the Rav Yah holds that nowadays it doesn't make sense to do a Seba anymore. That's why we say women are somech on the Shita of the Rav Yah. Women who don't want to do a Seba, they rely on the opinion of the Rav Yah. But the Rav Yah's Shita is no one should do a Seba anymore, because it doesn't make sense anymore. You go to a state dinner and they don't have couches prepared for you to lean. That's not the way kings eat. It's not the way royalty eats anymore. It just lacks meaning for us. So he says, so what's the counter argument? So the counter argument is that, says Rav Matzio Salomon, is that this is not about us celebrating our freedom. It's about recalling what the Midbar experience was like in that generation. It's a zecher l'neis, not a persume nisa of what we're experiencing right now, but a zecher to the way that the experience went when we were in the Midbar. Okay, moving along from Manishtana, so then we move into the paragraph of Avadim Ayinu, and toward the end of the paragraph of Avadim Ayinu, we highlight Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zekenim, kulanu yadim es ha-Torah mitzvah lein esapru b'tzias Mitzrayim. Even if we all knew everything, we would have to go through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the obvious kasha is, what's the chiddush? Meaning, what are you going to say? Imagine you're a Chabad guy, you have tefillin, you're out in public, you're trying to help people put on tefillin, and the guy comes over to you and says, I want you to put on tefillin. So normal response is, well, I already put on today. Okay, that's a good response. But let's say you say, no, I'm a big Talmud Chacham. You know, I don't need to put on. I know everything. I know every word it says in those little boxes. Okay, still got to put them on. It doesn't matter. Meaning there's no mitzvah that you get an exemption from because you're a big Talmud Chacham. Why would I assume that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, a Chiddush, afilu kolanu chachamim, we would still have to do this mitzvah? You mean like the other 612? Meaning, well, what's the Hava Amina that I wouldn't have to do this mitzvah? So Rav Matzio again quotes from his Rebbe. He says, Shamati mi mori v'rabi agon Rav Elia Lapian Zatzal. He says that the Hava Amina is that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should be a more should take on a different character when it's Chachamim and Nevonim and Yodim Es HaTorah. That it should be very deep ideas. That it should be, you know, with Inyanim from the Zohar. It should be Inyanim of Lamdus, depending on whatever, you know, whatever scratches your itch for whatever you enjoy. You know, it should be those kinds of things. He says no, it should be Pashtus. Afilu Kulanu Chacham Kulanu Nevonim. Tell the story. Tell what actually happened. He says a beautiful diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Afilu Chachamim Gedolim Chayavim Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even Chachamim Gedolim have to tell what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'kol Amarech B'Dvarim, and here's where the Rambam adds in two words that L'chore he shouldn't have to add in. V'kol Amarech B'Dvarim She'iru V'Shehayu Hareza Meshubach. Well, what's the Rambam saying? Anyone who goes at length to say that which is She'iru v'shahayu, says Rav Matzio Salman, Rav Elia Lapian, what the Rambam is telling you is just say what happened. That's the mitzvah. I was listening today to David Bashefkin interviewed Rav Moshe Weinberger and his son Ushi, and he asked at some point, what was the Seder like? And the answer was pashut. The Seder was Pasha. There was nothing, no one was levitating. No, it was just like, it was a Pasha the Seder. We were just saying, there weren't a million guests. It was just the family and just, you know, singing the songs that we're supposed to sing, you know, that we always sing in our family. It was, you know, just a regular Pasha the Seder. And that's what it's supposed to be. Afilu kolanu chacham, kolanu nevonim, kolanu zkei. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to tell the actual story. And that leads right into Kalamar, Sarbi, Tzias Mitzrayim. The paragraph continues, Hareza Meshubach, says Rav Elia Lapian, the Lashon of Meshubach doesn't just mean, and this is again something that Rav Matzio is very attached to, this idea of how we are supposed to be different from the Seder. He says, Lashon Meshubach doesn't mean you did a good thing. Hareze Meshubach means this person is now a better person. The person who goes and says the story of the foundation of our Emuna, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he is a Meshubach. He is a better person because now he is a Bal Emuna. And he says that's it's Meduyuk in the Rambam also. In the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvot Kufnun Zayin, V'kol Masha Yosef B'mamar, V'yarech Advarim, Ba'agdolos Masha Asul An Hashem. The more you tell about what Hashem did for us, U'masha Asul Manu Mitzrim, May all the Chamas, and the more you highlight how difficult Shibud Mitzrayim was, V'eichlokach Hashem. And how Hashem took revenge on them. And you show gratitude to Hashem. All that He gave us, all the chesed that He did. Yihyeh Yoser Tov. Says Rav Matzio, Yihyeh Yoser Tov means you will be more good. You will be better for it. Because you will now be a greater Bal Emunah. And he says, these two yesodos of the Haggadah, yesod number one, that even if you're a chacham, you have to just go through the pasha of the story. And yesod number two, that you become a better person by going through the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, are highlighted in the pasuk itself in Parshas Bo. Uleman tesaper bazne bincho ben bincha, es asher salalti Mitzrayim, es asososai, asher samti bam v'yedatam ki ani Hashem. From the fact that it says v'yedatam ki ani Hashem, it means, it's so interesting, right? I never paid attention to this. I never realized this. What does it say? Tell your children the story so that, it should be so that they should know Ki Ani Hashem, right? Tell your children the story V'yadatem Ki Ani Hashem, so that you, inclusive of the teller of the story, will know Ki Ani Hashem. Meaning, it's highlighting that Hareze Meshubach, you will be a better Bal Emunah. And when you share that story with your children, it's not only so that the children will be Balei Emunah. You will be a bigger Balei Emunah when you share that story. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem. And who's the pasuk talking to? It's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. if there's anyone that knew the story already, afilu kulanu chacham kulanu nevonim, if there's anyone that already knew the story, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, you have to lesaper ba'asne bincha ben bincha exactly what happened. Even though you already know it, and you already know it at a higher level, and you know all the Zohars, and you know all the Lamdas, you know every Reb Chaim, it doesn't matter, just tell the story. So both of those of those ideas are highlighted in that pasuk. Agav, he points out in a footnote, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person to fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim presumes that you're telling it to someone who wasn't there. Now, the entire Klal Yisrael was there. So, like, who are you gonna tell it to? So, except for Yisro. When Yisro comes with Tzipora and Gershom and Eliezer to Klal Yisrael, and they weren't there at the time of Tzias Mitzrayim, Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, "Vayisaper Moshe lechasano es kol asher asa Hashem leparu leMitzrayim." He told him everything that happened. So he was the first one to actually do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in this most profound way, where you're actually sharing a story to someone who wasn't there to actually experience it. Okay, moving along. We then go on and tell the story of Maisa Rebbelezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Elazar ben Azai, Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Tarfon, all these holy Tanoim that were in Bnei Brak, and they were telling the story, Kolos HaLayl, until the Talmidim came and said, Higi Hazman, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Rebbe Matzio Solomon, in a very quick vart, just points out, Shachris is speaking in a poetic allegory. It doesn't mean that it was the Zman Kriyashma. L'chaora, he doesn't point this out, but L'chaora, they shouldn't have been going until Zman Kriyashma. Meaning at most, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim either goes till Chatzos, it's L'chaora connected to Karban Pesach. So it should either go till Chatzos, or maybe Amud HaShachar, but it shouldn't go all the way till Mishe Yakir, right? Higi Zman Kriyashma, it's a little too late if Higi Zman Kriyashma Shel Shachris. So the point is that, says Rav Matzio, Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. So what they're trying to say is that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to bring us to a hakara of the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us at Yetzias Mitzrayim, how He took us from Beis Avadim to the point that we want to be Mekabel Ol Malach Shemayim. Higi Hazman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. You've already achieved Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. You've achieved Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. And that's the goal of the whole thing, is to achieve that sense of Emunah. Then he goes on to say that the Haggadah goes on, I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiven shivim shana, that I was like 70 years old, lo zachisi shetem yitzias mitzrayim b'leil sa shedrasha ben zoma. Very interesting phrase. Lo zachisi shetem yitzias mitzrayim b'leil, meaning as if to say, I've reached my conclusion in advance that we're going to have to talk about yitzias mitzrayim at night. I just couldn't figure out how the Torah taught that to us, or where in the Torah it was taught to us. Well, if you couldn't figure out where in the Torah it was said, maybe it's wrong. Meaning, what he should have said that I thought you shouldn't say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, until I found the pasuk that Yedarshin that tells me you're supposed to say that. That's not what he says. Lo zachisi. I couldn't win this argument because I couldn't bring a proof. Well, maybe if you couldn't bring a proof, you're wrong. How is it that it was a foregone conclusion that he was right? So Rav Matzio also often quotes from the Brisker Rav, and he quotes from the Brisker Rav that Chazal Masakin to the Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, together with Kriya Shema, even though they're two separate mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim and there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, because they both have the same theme. The theme is Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. And again, this is the theme he keeps highlighting, that the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to bring us to a sense of Emunah, a sense of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. That's why they're connected in Kriya Shema. Why would you stick some other mitzvah, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, smack in the middle of Kriya, not in the middle, but tack it on to Kriya Shema? What's it got to do with Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. This is Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. Elamai, the goal of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. That's the function. That's the purpose of it, is Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. So he says, now I understand what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thought. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, look, we have a mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim twice a day, including at night. So why would it make any sense that Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim should be incomplete at night? We should do a complete Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim during the day and incomplete Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim at night? Doesn't make any sense. There's got to be a mitzvah of a complete Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim at night as well. Lo zachisi. I couldn't bring a raya, though. I needed a raya from a pasuk. And then I found how to darshan the pasuk when I discovered kol yimei chayecha, that it's l'rabos halelos, that it includes the nights as well. Okay, moving along to the next paragraph of the Haggadah. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Now, this is a Birchas HaTorah of sorts. We're blessing Hashem that He gave Torah to Klal Yisrael right before we get into how we share that Torah. But it's so interesting that of all the names that Hashem goes by, that Hashem is referred to as, we use the term Hamakom. Why is it that the Baal HaGadah chooses that name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And presumably, and everyone says this, pretty much every commentary to the Haggadah says this, Chazal tell us what Hamakom represents. The word, the name, every name of Hashem represents something else. Some names represent Midas Hadin, others Midas HaRachamim, others other things, some element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamakom represents Shehu Mekomo Shel Olam Ve'ein HaOlam Mekomo. That we often think of space as something that contains that which is inside the space. This is a building, we are each inside this building. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, it is not that there is a world and Hashem is inside the world. No, the world is inside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu so permeates all of creation and is bigger than creation, that everything that exists is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the concept of Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing. Ein Od Milvado doesn't mean there's no other God besides for Hashem. That's obvious, that there's no other God besides for Hashem. Ein Od Milvado means there is nothing aside from Hashem. There is nothing that exists outside of Hashem. So everything is the Ribono Shel Olam. Everything is part of, and I realize just how to phrase this is very, very controversial, and I'm not going to get into those details, but Ein Od Milvado means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so powerful that he could lift the heaviest rock in the world. No, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made nature. He's the one who controls nature. And that's the purpose, that's demonstrated through all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim represent Ein Od Milvado, because it represents how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the rules changed. All of a sudden, seas can split, water can turn into blood, because all the rules of nature are all however Hashem wants them to be. So that's why we use the term Hamakom. A second possibility, he says, is lahashrish emuna b'leiv b'no. It's in order to inculcate a sense of emuna to go through all of the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But before you do that, you have to first introduce your child to who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. How can you speak about what Hashem did if you never ever spoke about Hashem before? I mean, imagine a parent comes to a Seder, grandparents, whenever they come to the Seder, and they start saying, oh, what Hashem did for us here, and Hashem did these miracles, and Hashem, and at some point, you know, Abba, me Hashem, you know, I never heard of this guy before. Who is Hashem? I never heard of him. We first have to introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We first have to introduce Hashem. So what are we going to say? Hashem is in Shemayim? It's not going to make the proper impression. It's going to seem like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so limited, that he's some you know, old man with a long white beard that lives up there, up in Shemayim. So the Baal HaGadah says the proper way to introduce Hashem is that Hu Mekomo Shel Olam. He is the Makom, and Melo Kala Eretz Kavodo, everything that exists is within HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now you know what Hashem is. Now you appreciate a little bit of the magnitude of the greatness of Hashem. Now we can talk about what He had done for us. And it becomes so much more powerful, because now you understand that, you know, I have a relationship with a powerful person, okay. I have a relationship with someone who's a CEO, a chief rabbi, whatever. But it's limited. When you say, I have a relationship with an old man up in heaven who has a long white beard, pretty cool. But we have a relationship with the only force in this entire world. And He loves us, and look how much He loves us. Look what He did for us because He loves us. It has an entirely different impact on all those who think about the Haggadah. Okay, moving along, we then go into the Dalet Banim. So who's your favorite of the Dalet Banim? Everyone's favorite is the Rasha, no? Chacham's boring. Tam and Inyo de Lishol and Vaday boring. So the Rasha is the only exciting one. So, right, it wouldn't be an exciting Seder without the Rasha. So, the Haggadah says, Rasha Mahu Omer, Ma Avodah Zos Lachem. So, it's interesting. I had to speak in yeshiva this week, not speak in yeshiva. Last week, Rabbi Dr. Berman, gave a memorial shiur, the Zechun Nishmas, Rabbi Belkin, the second president of yeshiva. And Rabbi Penner is the one that's supposed to introduce the president before he speaks in the base measure, but Rabbi Penner was sick. So the last minute they said, Rabbi Leibowitz, you have to introduce him. I'm like, there are 50 Rashi Yeshiva in this place. Why do I have to be the one that, you know, that introduced? But whatever, they said, because it's a Reitz thing. Well, okay, so I had to be the one that that introduced him. So I had nothing. So I turned to my Talmidim in the back of the Beis Medrash. I said, no, I got 5 minutes. I got to introduce the president. Give me a Vart. Give me something. So one of the Talmidim said, oh, I heard from Rav Shechter this Vart in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. And then as soon as he said the Vart, I said, I saw Rav Matzio Salman quoted that same Vart from Rav Baruch Ber, which makes a lot of sense, because Rav Baruch Ber was the prime Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So if you heard from Rav Shechter the name of Soloveitchik, it probably all came from the same place, and it probably all emanated from the Beis Medrash of Rav Chaim. But the Vart is as follows. The Torah talks about when the Ben HaRasha asks you a question, and the Torah says what the response is supposed to be to the Ben HaRasha. The Torah says, V'amartem zevach pesach hu la'ashem, that you're supposed to talk about the Karban Pesach. And yet, in the Haggadah, Rasha Maromer, Ulvishos, Yasas Maraklal, cover bigger, Vavatak, Eshino Vamarlo, Bavurze, Asa Hashem, leave, it says in Mitzrayim, leave, lo, lo, ilu, Yasham, lo, yenigal. Where's Vamartim Zevach Pesach? The Torah tells us what we're supposed to say, and we're not saying it. How come we don't say what the Torah tells us the answer is supposed to be? So the Rav Baruch Ber said, and apparently Rav Soloveitchik said, and, you know, whoever the originator of the Vart was, that there are two levels of conversations that have to happen after one encounters a Rasha. You have to talk to the Rasha. There needs to be a response to the Rasha of some sort or another. But in addition to that, you also have to talk to yourself after you encounter a Rasha. A person who encounters a Rasha, a person who encounters ideas that are very, very foreign to what we're supposed to believe, that are very damaging to a Baal Bitachon, to a Baal Emuna, a person has to have a conversation with themselves. A person has to just talk to themselves and remind themselves what they do believe, who they are, what they stand for, and make sure that we haven't been moved and we haven't been influenced by the Ben HaRasha. Notice when the Torah says what to say, it does not say Va'amartem Elav, that you should say to him, say to the Ben HaRasha. No, no. Va'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. That's a conversation you have with yourself. After you encounter the Rasha, chazer over. Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. We bring a Karban Pesach because we believe that our Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and this is that you go through the Yesodos of Emunah to make sure that your own Emunah hasn't been harmed. When it comes to dealing with the Rasha, Baal HaGadah has a different idea how to deal with the Rasha, what you should say to him, exactly what you should do. So Ayin, every Vart you've ever heard about what it means, exactly, Akeyashinov or whatever, right? And fill that in, what the best way to deal with the Rasha. But the Torah is telling us how to deal with ourselves, how to make sure that our own Emunah remains intact. So the Pasuk goes on and tells us that the Rasha asked the question, Ma avoda azos lachem, right? What is this avoda to you? So there's a famous part from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi writes it in his commentary on Chumash. I'll mention it quickly, and I'll just tell you what Rav Matzio adds to this vart, because for the most part, he just says the vart. The vart from the Beis Halevi, it's more than a vart, it's like MS. From the Beis Halevi is that what the Rasha is really trying to ask is, there's an assumption to the Rasha's question. The assumption to the Rasha's question is that we do mitzvos for the reasons that are mentioned in the Torah. And therefore he's saying, I don't understand. Ma avodazos lachem, why do you need to do these mitzvos? I understand when we left Mitzrayim, we had what to be grateful for and we had to do these things because that symbolized what that generation went through. But why do we need to do these mitzvos? Ma avodazos lachem. Those are the reasons for the mitzvos. Those reasons no longer apply. And therefore, why do we have to do it? Especially, lamashal, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. The mitzvah of Karban Pesach is very clearly about bitul avodah zarah. We take their god and we in front of them and we slaughter it, and it's very clearly a statement of bitul avodah zarah, that we don't believe in avodah zarah. No one's worshipping sheep nowadays anyway. We're not living in a society that worships sheep. We're living in a society that worships other things like money and power, right? We're not in a society that worships sheep. So why is it that we have to we're still doing a Karban Pesach or we will? I mean, so that's the Rasha's taina. The Rasha's making a very, very important mistake, though. He claims that it's all irrelevant, but really, the reasons for the mitzvahs are not the reasons that we do the mitzvahs. The Beis Halevi points out, Ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li. The Rasha has the equation backwards. He thinks that because God did these things for us, therefore we do these mitzvahs. No, no, no. Bavorzeh asa Hashem li. Hashem did these things for us because these mitzvos already existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stakel baraisu bara alma. The mitzvos HaTorah, the Torah itself, existed before the world was ever created. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a mitzvah of matzah in the Torah, the way he saved us was b'chipazon, where the dough didn't have a chance to rise. The way it played out is it made it that maror makes sense, and that Korban Pesach makes sense, that matzah makes sense. But that's not why we do the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs preceded those events. Those events happened in the way that they happened because those mitzvahs already existed. That's the famous Vart of the Beis Halevi. What Rav Matzion Salman adds to that Vart, and therefore, by the way, and therefore makes the Rosh's question irrelevant. Meaning, what are you doing these mitzvahs for? These reasons don't apply. We don't know what the next geula, how the next geula is going to attach itself to matzah and to maror and to pesach. Meaning, it all starts with the mitzvahs. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu fits the world events into what the mitzvahs already are. Says Rav Matzion Salman that he heard from that he saw in the Sefer Levush Mordechai in Psicha to Baba Kama from Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Lema Dover Dome says, you know what it's like? It's someone asks, how do I get to a certain location? Asks for directions, right? So they tell him, oh, well, you're going to pass by a hospital on your right side. When you see the hospital, make a left, and then when you go a couple of blocks, you'll see a stop sign, and then you go there and you'll see a wall, and the person's going to think, oh, they built a hospital so that I could know how to get to this location. That whole hospital is put there just so I can know how to, you know, so that fellow can give me directions. The stop sign is there, not to stop traffic accident. Stop sign is there so I can know that that's where I'm supposed to make my right. Right? That's where I'm supposed to make it. So is there a bigger foolishness than that? Is there something more stupid than to assume that that's the case? So we're looking at the guy at these landmarks, and we're thinking that those landmarks were there for the journey that we've already traveled, or for the journey that was. But that's not what they're there for. They're there for much bigger reasons. We also use them as landmarks in the journey. So that's what Moshe Mordechai Epstein suggested, that based on this Beis Halevi, the mitzvos aren't there because of this one event that happened that one time. They're there because they're bigger than everything in the world. They govern world events. And in fact, the other addition that Rav Matzion has over here, he says that in the Haggadah's Beis Halevi Brisk, they say that the Beis Halevi himself, on the night of the Seder, used to announce, "Anu orchim haSeder gam mishum shekach tzivsa haTorah, v'lo rak mishum anisim shenasu az." A very brisker kind of statement. He says, you know why we're doing a Seder? Because Hashem said we're supposed to do a Seder. Not just because of the miracles that happened. We do it because it's a mitzvah Hashem. It's like when my wife started teaching Kalos, she asked me how much time I spend describing or explaining to Chassanim why we observe the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha. So I said, you know, I try to spend like a good 25 to 30 seconds or so explaining why we observe Taras HaMishpacha. She said, no, the Kala, it's like 2 hours explaining why we observe Taras HaMishpacha. So again, meaning because my spiel is, because Hashem said so. Right? You don't have to like it. You just have to do it, you know? Because Hashem said so, which maybe, you know, is not the most... You have to have a particular type of chassan that, you know, I have a self-selecting crew. I'm not suggesting that this is what... But you know, you can give all the reasons, and they're all wonderful, and they're all true also. But the ultimate truth is that it's because Hashem said so. Then we move on. Tamahu Omer. Mazos. So the she'el of the Tam is very similar to what the Chacham asks, where he asks, why do we need the Maisa mitzvahs? Meaning, I have emuna, and emuna is all I really need. So the answer to the Tam is, Hashem could have just taken us out of Mitzrayim, but he didn't just take us out of Mitzrayim, because then it would have been an event and it would have been forgotten. Hashem performed a series of miracles to mark the event so that it will never be forgotten. So that it will be imbued in our neshamos, and we'll have that sense of emuna. And therefore, when we recall the event, it's not enough to just say, I have emuna, and I know that the event happened. We have to recall the event with a lot of fanfare, the same way that the event happened. That's how he understands the time. Then we move on Midchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avoseinu. We'll wrap it up in another one or two varts. Midchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avoseinu. The Mishnah tells us in Masachas Pesachim, Maschil Begnosim Masayim B'Shevach, that the way the Sipritz is Masayim is supposed to play out, you're supposed to start with something negative, you're supposed to start with all the negative and all the difficulty and all the challenges, and conclude with all the positive, with the Shevach. And the Gemara asks, My Begnos, how do we start with the negative? So Rav Amar, Midchila Ovde Avodagilulim Hayu Avoseinu. An obvious point to some, but one that probably should be made. Rav Matzioh Salman points out, if you look, when we say Mitchila of Deva Dezara Hayu Avoseinu, who is that referring to? So we identify Terech, Avi Avram, Avi Nochar, Vayavdu Elohim Acherim, so we identify Terech as an Ovid Deva Dezara. But we're not really only identifying Terech as an Ovid Deva Dezara. Terech, Avi Avram, Avi Nochar, not Vaya'avod Elohim Acherim, Vaya'avdu Elohim Acherim. Avraham, Mitchilov, since when is Terach Avoseinu? Terach is not one of the Avos. We have Elke Avram, Elke Yitzchak, Elke Yaakov. Avraham is one of the Avos. Mitchilov de Avodazara Avoseinu means Avraham was an Ovid Avodazara. Sounds crazy. How can you say such a thing? The Rambam writes this in the first parak of Hilchos Avodas Chachamim. The Rambam describes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodazara the history of Avodah Zarah. And he describes how Avraham Avinu started thinking and contemplating that how could it be that the whole world exists without a manhig, that it can't be that there's no one leading the world. And Vav v'imo v'kala'am ovdim Avodah Zarah v'hu oved imahen, says the Rambam. Everyone was doing Avodah Zarah. He was a good boy. His parents raised him to go to the Batei Avodah Zarah and to worship Avodah Zarah. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did Avodah Zarah. But he wasn't satisfied with it, and he started thinking. And that's why Ve'avdu. And it's such an important point, because he became Avram Avinu. Meaning sometimes people feel that where I've been, what I've done, there's no coming back from. Avram Avinu was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. And that's something we highlight at the Seder, to the Ben HaChacham, and the Ben HaTam, and the Ben Sheni Yodei Lishol, and maybe most importantly to the Ben HaRasha. Mitchilo Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Yavaseinu, Avram Avinu was also an Ovid Avodah Zarah. And he became Avram Avinu. Maybe one final vart. So we then go on to say, "Geriyah zaracha be'eretz lo lahem v'avadum," that we were a stranger in a land that wasn't ours, and we were under and we were in servitude. So he says the fact that Klal Yisrael has to be sovel golus on two levels, gerus and avdus. Geriyah zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. And va'avadim, right? We were avadim, and we were gerim. We were foreigners. So he says that's important, because everything we experienced was meant to prepare us for avodas Hashem. It was to prepare us for how to serve Hashem properly. It's the entire Mitzrayim experience was not like one big unfortunate thing that, of course, thank God, of course, Baruch Hu saved us from that, and therefore we pushed that out of our mind. Everything that we went through. And really everything, it's a good way to look at life in general. Whatever we go through in life is meant to prepare us for greater Avodas Hashem. It's where we were supposed to be. It's what was supposed to happen to us so that we can serve Hashem better. So both of these elements were critical for Avodas Hashem. Why were they both critical for Avodas Hashem? First of all, one of the yesodas of Avodas Hashem is to recognize that we are not permanent residents of this world. That we are gerim in this world. That everything here is temporary. So we had to experience an existence where several generations of Jews were nothing more than gerim, where we knew we never belonged. We knew that was not a place of permanent residence. We knew it was not a place of citizenship. It was not a place where we were going to be accepted. To come to the recognition that's our travels through Olam Hazeh in general. This is not the tachlis. This is not the end. This is not the goal. This is not the purpose. There's something bigger. And it's important to be a ger. And it's also important to be an Eved. Shlach Kadosh writes in Parshas Lech Lecha that the inyan of Avdus b'Mitzrayim, the purpose was to understand the Musag, to understand the concept of Avdus. Kedei lahashrish banu hergashe ha'eved sha'ovid adonav. We should know what it means to be a servant that serves a master, where there's nothing for ourselves, where everything is meshubad to the master. And then we'll be ready to become Avdei Hashem. We'll be ready to actually serve Hashem. One more. Okay, one final one. Really, this is okay. We then go on and say, "V'gamas agoy asher yavodu dan anochi," that Hashem punishes Mitzrayim. He punishes Mitzrayim with Eser Makos. Why did Hashem bring the Makos? What was the purpose of the Makos? So Matzio points out there were two purposes of the Makos. First of all, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that he controls the entire Bria. It was a show of force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's in control of nature. And the second is to remind us that those who do wrong ultimately get punished. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken us out of Mitzrayim without putting the Egyptians through this entire series of exercises that make for entertaining Siddurim and frogs flying all over, whatever. Right? He could have done it without all these things. But then we would not have seen that there's such a concept of Schar Va'onesh. And Rashi highlights this in his commentary to Shmos on the Pasuk of Ani Aksha Slave Paro Verbasius Ososai Vesmosai Beretz Mitzrayim. Rashi writes, Me'achar Shehitriya Vihitris Kenegdi Galoi Lefanai She'en Nachas Ruach Bumos Ovdei Chav Nasei Slave Shalim Lashuv Tovli Sheyiska Shalibo. I know he's not going to do tshuva on his own. After harden his heart, Leman Harbospo Ososai Vitakiru Atem Eskvu Rasi, that you should appreciate my strength. And the chemidas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be peronos al umos of the chavim kedei sheyishmu u Yisrael v'yirau. What happens to the umos ha'olam, what happens to the chavim, is a message for the Jewish people also. Hashem did the makos with Mitzrayim, says Rashi, kedei sheyishmu Yisrael v'yirau, that we see what happens to those who don't behave. That Hashem has a system of schar va'onesh, not because Hashem hates us, not because Hashem loves us, but there is a tenai to the hatava, to the goodness that Hashem wants to give to us. Of course, Hashem wants to only do good for us, but there is a tenai to that goodness that Hashem does for us. And the tenai is that we have to serve Hashem properly. And if we don't, that there is this principle of schar va'onesh. And that's the dual purpose of the makos, to show an emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absolute control of the world, and to also show an appreciation of the concept of schar va'onesh. Okay, we'll stop there. Everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach, and hopefully this will be helpful to you in some way or another.